Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to get as far as I can, but that's probably not through the entire message. My plan is to be with you in this chapter all day today, asking God to speak to our hearts. How many of you all have children still in the home? Would you raise your hand? You have children still in the home. There's a book that I'm making available to you. We made this available during the family recharge. It's a little book. You can see it here. It's on family devotions, and it's written by Pastor Mike Ray. He's an outstanding servant of the Lord. I have read through this little booklet, and I encourage you to get this. It's for nothing. I'm giving it to you, all right? So if you have children in your home and you have not received one of these, this book will be on the table out in the lobby right there in the center. Grab one, take it, read it, and start having family devotions. There's no doubt about this. I encourage you, family devotions should not take the place of personal devotions. You can amen here, friends. It's okay. Obviously, you know, you're in a friendly place. You can say amen. I hope you're walking with God individually. You ought to be walking with God as a family as well. And this little booklet gives you some great insight on how to have family devotions. So I encourage you to get this. Take it. This one reason I wanted to get it was to make it available to you so you can take it. I like putting tools in your hands to help you become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be praying for children, anything like that. Help yourself. Take one of these, all right? Just as long as they last are there. I think there's some more that's supposed to come, but I encourage you to get that today. That'll be good. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're going to read this entire chapter. Because I want you to get a grasp when I give you the title, I think hopefully it'll make sense to you. If it doesn't, then I'm sorry. All right, but here we go. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, look at verse number 1. This is our Old Testament book. We're studying through this book together. Here we go. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the sun. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which was planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Don't you get the sense he's just kind of in a merry-go-round here? Just whatever will be, you know. Here we go. Verse number 9. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor, it is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth shall be forever. It shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. God doeth it, and that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, but there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts, even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Now you may be saying, what in the world did we just read? Time to be born, a time to die, a time to weep, a time to dance. Man's no better than beast. But what God does is forever. Man's no better than beast. And man should just enjoy his labor on the earth. False. God's going to judge the righteous and the wicked. Truth. False. Truth. Error. Truth. You read here, he's going back and forth. He's going between error and truth. He's going between flesh and the spirit. He's going between reality and non-reality. Brought something with me today before I give you my title. When I hold this up, I know what some of you are going to think. I brought a big rope with me. It's right here. You want to see it? You're going to see it whether you want to or not. You know it? I brought it with me because it introduces my title. No, this is not we're going to tie somebody up or anything like that today. How many of y'all were thinking that? Would you raise your hand? How many of y'all are lying right now? Would you raise your hand? Okay, but anyway. Today I want to preach to you on this subject. Solomon's tug of war. Solomon's tug of war. There's a battle going on in Solomon when you come throughout this book. But especially here in chapter 3, he's saying some things that's absolutely ridiculous. Just off the wall. It's ridiculous. And then all of a sudden, he'll make a statement that is a bombshell of doctrinal truth. He's going back and forth. He's being pulled this way, then pulled back this way. And he's pulled this way and pulled back that way. I'm going to take this and I'm just going to put it right there. Because you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember that rope. Because everybody plays tug of war. You play tug of war every day of your life. Did you know that? I'm talking about being pulled between truth and error, faith and fear, flesh and spirit. You know the truth, but you dabble over here in error. It happens to every one of us. And that's what's happening here in this chapter as we begin our message on Solomon's tug of war. Let's pray together. Father, bless now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever been involved in a game of tug of war? This is a spiritual sermon, can you tell? It is, believe it or not. This is a game where one side is pulling against the other side in order to win the game. You know, in the same way, there are spiritual times of tug of war. I'm talking about times when faith is colliding and pulling against fear. Times when the spirit is pulling against the flesh. Times when truth is pulling against error. This is what we see taking place here in Solomon in this chapter. And as you read this chapter, you read how there's a struggle going on in Solomon's life. He's going between statements of error and great statements of truth. It's as if a tug of war is taking place in his heart and in his mind. Fleshly things are combating against spiritual truths in Solomon throughout this passage. That's my desire this morning in this message as we walk through this passage to watch this tug of war taking place. And as we watch this tug of war with these different things he says, there are tremendous, practical, helpful truths to help us today. It's tremendous, honestly. Matter of fact, there's four major ones that I want to give to you in this chapter. God willing, I'm going to get to two of them this morning, give you the last two tonight. Now, before we get to the main thoughts that we can get, just points of application, let us remember what the Word of God says to us in Galatians 5:17. The Bible says there, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." You know, whenever we realize it right here, whether we realize it or not, we too are in a spiritual tug of war. I'm talking about things in our hearts and minds that it's truth against error. It's flesh against the Spirit of God. It's reality against non-reality. It's faith against fear. Now I want to dig into this passage. And I want to bring out honestly, folks, these have helped me tremendously. These thoughts are just good reminders, but yet it helps us understand some things right from the Word of God that can help us in our everyday life. Now, the first one's found in verses 1 through 8. It's that passage where he's going back and forth. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up. When you read those verses, here's major thought number one. Here it is now. Now, this tug of war, even though some of it's negative in his life, everything I'm giving you is going to be positive, okay? I'm giving you 4 points of application to take away from this tug of war. Number one, here we go. My points are statements. Here we go, number one. Listen to it. If you're taking notes, you can summarize it. Here it is. Don't get so caught up with life that you miss the importance of right now. Did you hear what I just said? Don't get so caught up with life that you miss the importance of right now. Let me explain this to you. In these verses, Solomon's caught up with the monotony of life. He goes back and forth between positive things and negative things. He talks about the time to be born, but yet there's a time to die. There's a time to plant, but you're going to have to pluck it up again. There's a time to kill, but there's a time to heal. There's a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and not embrace. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend or tear apart and a time to sow or put together. He said a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time of war and a time of peace. A time of love and a time of hate. Anybody bored yet? I mean, he's caught up in the monotony of life. It's just this and that and this and that. Look here. He saw the beginning and the ending. Where's the middle? He said there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. What about in between? You don't find that here. And I'm telling you something, folks. He's caught up in the constant moving of life. One man said it this way, life's seasons simply remind us that life moves incessantly. You are not where you were, and you won't always be where you are now. The point here is Solomon was so caught up in the affairs of life that he seemed to miss the importance of that very moment he was making these statements. Now, folks, listen to me. If you'll let this speak to you, this is a tremendous truth. When he said a time to be born and a time to die, he completely missed the moment he was living in at that moment. This is a great lesson to learn. Don't get so caught up in life passing on that you miss the importance of right now that you have to do something for God. Does that make sense what I'm saying to you? I'm telling you, we need to get this. It's been said, and I quote, we tend to look back and remember how good it was and look forward to imagine how good it will be, which inevitably means that right now stinks. Right now is terrible. I can't wait until I get there. Or I tell you, it'll never be like it was. You know who that sounds like? Solomon. What about right now? What about boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth? What about saying, God, thank you for my past, thank you for my future, but don't let me miss the importance of right now. Now, if you have children that's grown and gone, am I preaching it straight or not, friends? I'm telling you, time is flying by, and it's going by too fast to look ahead. And it's going by too fast to look in the past. We need God's children to look in the present and say, God, what do you want me to do right now? This statement goes on to say, hence we miss how truly good God is right now. If now is always negative, your imagination will remember yesterday for its positives, dream of tomorrow for its possibilities, and then see today's negatives at the expense of its blessings. You will always be trying to get back to where you were or trying to get where you hope to be rather than savoring where God has you and enjoying what God is doing right now. Every moment that you're murmuring or mourning is a moment you're missing. And every moment you're complaining is a moment you're crushing. In a short time, this season will be unrecoverable. Today will be gone. Your present will pass away with all of its blessings, all of its burdens. And I wonder today, are we squandering right now? Or are we saving it? Are we losing it? Or are we leveraging it? I'm telling you, are we so focused on our past or so focused on our future that we are missing the power and the privilege of today? Today. Proverbs 27:1, I've already quoted it. Let me quote it again. The Word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let me ask you a question this morning. What does God want you to do right now? What does God have for you right now? What is God's will for you right now? What is it? See, Solomon lost sight of today. He was so focused on the past and the present. Time to be born, past. Time to die, future. A time to plant, past. Time to pluck up, future. He's going back and but he's missing everything in between. I am convinced, and I am guilty, that we waste a lot of God-given time. If you have children in your home, I still have four of them. I've been trying to get rid of three of them. No, I'm just kidding with you. We have four of them, and God is speaking to my heart. God is speaking to me. My son's 15 years old, sitting up in the balcony. I believe God's working in his heart. I trust he is. I've got 3 years. Because he's not going to live at home forever. Amen, son. But if everything's natural, if everything is, well, you understand what I mean by natural. He turns 18, he's a senior in high school, he goes out into the world. Have I spent enough time with him? He's probably sitting up there saying, boy, I hope he don't spend any more time with me. I can't take the time I've got now, you know. I'm just trying to apply what I'm trying to get across. Are you following me? Don't get so focused on what he's going to become that you miss the formidable years right now when he's 15 years old. You follow me what I'm trying to get across? I don't care what life stage you're in, this can help you. We get so focused on what it used to be, and we get so focused on where it's going, that we miss the gift of today. Don't miss today. Amen. This is a great thought, friends. It really, really is. Matter of fact, I could close up. It's been worth your time coming just for that truth right there. It's been worth mine. I'm convicted. God's convicting me. I need to do a better job. Hey, this applies to your marriage too. You better not take your mate for granted. I'm not trying to open wounds here just in case I'm, because I know I'm speaking to widows and widowers. Please. You know your pastor by now. I don't do that. But the fact of the matter is that we can become so burdened down with life that you miss the opportunity to grab one another, lay a big one on one another, and say, I love you. By the way, we need to pray for Miss Pat Hay, Brother Ira. They're in another church up in Virginia. when they moved away. I'm sure most of you probably are aware of this, that she's in the hospital. She had a heart catheterization and one of the arteries tore, and she's had three, they had to open her up three times in less than 24 hours. The bleeding slowed down. Thank God for that. We need to keep praying for her. But it started as a routine procedure. I'm not trying to scare people, but folks, that's just reality. It can happen to anybody at any time. Get your eyes off the future, get your eyes off the past, and get in today and say, God, what do you want me to do right now? That's lesson one. Let me give you a second lesson. This will be as far as we get. Number two, not only do we see that we're not to get so caught up with life that we miss the importance of now, but secondly, this right here kind of builds on that. This is a beautiful thought. Verses 9 through 11. Now keep in mind there's a tug of war going on, but what I'm focusing on are the great facts that he brings out. And I mean, he just drops bombshells of, wow, that's good right there. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says in verse number 9 of chapter 3, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Then he drops it. Here it is. Notice verse 11. He, God, hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart. You know what that word world means? It means ages. It doesn't mean planet. It means ages. You know what that means? He's put inside of the hearts of people, there's life beyond the grave. Powerful statements here. He goes on to say, so that man, no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. It's a great verse. Let me paraphrase it. Everything he does is beautiful in his time. And inside of every one of his creatures, he puts the thought that eternity is real. And nobody can completely figure out his works from beginning to the end. So here's major thought two. Realize God is working to make something beautiful in his time. This is a tremendous truth. Tremendous truth. In these verses, we read here how Solomon makes some tremendous statements about the Lord in verse 11. He brings out how God makes things beautiful in his time. Not our time, not his time, but God's time. He has set eternity in our hearts, the ages, and he knows, get this, where he says, no man knows God's works from the beginning to the end. You know what that means? That means God sees the whole picture. He sees the beginning, and he sees the end. We're stuck in the middle just like a little polka dot, and all we see is right now, but we need to trust God who sees the beginning and the ending, because even though we only see this part, God sees the whole thing, and he is working on something in our lives, even if it doesn't make sense to us, even if it's painful, even if it's burdensome, God is making something beautiful in his time. This is a great truth. It's a wonderful truth. The point here in all of this, I've already said, I'm going to repeat some of this. God sees it all. And he is working to make something beautiful. Therefore, for a child of God, even if right now is a burden, that doesn't mean God caused it, because not everything that happens to us is God's will. But we can rest that God is working behind the scenes. One man said, you may be blinded by hardship or pressure, but right now has its own beauty and is working towards something even more beautiful if Jesus is your Lord. I like what Dr. Clarence Sexton said. He said this. He said, things do not always look beautiful to me. He goes on to say, if you go into the kitchen where your mother is cooking, things may not look beautiful at the time you enter the room. However, when she puts the food on the table, it's beautiful. He said, you may go into the sewing room and see something she's putting together. It may not look beautiful then, but when she's finished, the final product is beautiful. Our timing's not always God's timing. And when God finishes His work, I promise you, it'll be beautiful. We may not understand the pieces, but we must trust that the whole is going to be beautiful. This is the way God works. If we consider that God is late, it's because we are too early. End quote. Powerful statement. We need to remember that all we see, get this. Now, all we have that we know is now. That's point one. So don't waste it. Amen. That's point one. You've got now. Don't waste it. Point two, all we see is now. So don't let it cause you to distrust God. Because God not only sees where we are, He sees eternity past and eternity future. He sees the whole thing. And He's at work to work something beautiful. You know what point two is basically telling you? You can trust Him. Just trust God. So I don't understand this burden. I don't understand that. I don't understand why this happens to good people. I don't understand why I have to go through this. You don't have to understand. All you do need to understand is that God sees the whole picture. God's at work. Even if it's something I'm talking about something that somebody's brought on you. God's not even in it. God's big enough to turn that somehow, some way, into good for you. That's God. That is God. You say, how's He do it? I don't know. You don't either. But aren't you glad we serve a God like that? I'm telling you, He's at work to make something beautiful in your life. And sometimes He uses hardships. Sometimes He uses burdens. Some of you in a crowd this size, there's no doubt in a crowd this size. There are many of you, I can guarantee it, that you've come to this church service and you are carrying a burden. You're under hardship, trouble. I'm telling you that God had you in mind when He put this message on my heart because He wants you to know, no matter what's going on in your life, you can trust God. God is working. That doesn't mean that that's His will. But God can even take things that's not His will and work it out some way, somehow, to where when He's done and you respond right, you don't rebel against Him, you don't run from Him, but you say, I don't understand God, but I'm going to trust You. When He is done, it'll be beautiful. When He's done, it'll be beautiful. Even if your life is full of burdens. On Monday, April the 20th, 2015 at 9 o'clock in the morning. Michael Melamed, I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce his name, it's M-E-L-A-M-E-D. He began the 119th Boston Marathon with thousands of other runners. The 26, basically it's a little over 26 miles, but the 26 mile marathon is a Boston tradition held annually on Patriots Day, which draws tens of thousands of guests to the city. As the race began, thousands of runners blew by Michael Melamed. 20 hours and 26 miles later, Michael finally crossed the finish line at 5 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday morning. Long after every other runner had finished, they had finished their race and they had already gone home and had gone to sleep. Michael had run through a harsh night of cold temperatures. Hard rain, powerful thunderstorms. He finished in last place many hours after the second to last, the one that was next to him, many hours after that runner had crossed the finish line. See, Michael has a form of muscular dystrophy, which severely impairs his mobility. He didn't run the marathon, he walked it. In a way that made every single step an act of physical hardship. He thrust and limped and lunged his body through the night for 26 miles against all the odds. His hope is that his determined attitude amidst hardship would become an inspiration for others facing similar challenges. You know, the world might look at Michael and think there's nothing but burden and hardship in that story. But I challenge you, and I did this, I challenge you to look up Michael Melamed online, to view the video, it's still up, to view the video of him crossing the finish line in Boston's driving rain. There's people there at 5 o'clock in the morning cheering him on, to support of his family and friends. It's hard to watch without being moved to tears. Is there burden there? Absolutely. But is there not beauty there too? Absolutely. In fact, in some degree, the burden is what makes the beauty so wonderfully beautiful. If Jesus is your Savior and your Lord, then you can truly cherish now. You can embrace both the burdens and the beauties of this season. And you can rest in His good plan of grace. You can truly claim Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Kerry Schmidt, who wrote a great book on Ecclesiastes, put it well by saying this. He said chapter 3, which is what we're studying, chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes challenges us to think this way. Here's what he says. You think this way. This is where God has placed me. This is where I will be joyfully, gratefully, and expectantly. God is at work in my life. God is making something beautiful. I can choke at the burdens, or cherish the blessings. I can savor my Savior, or I can protest my problems. And when I murmur, I miss out. I'm about done. Don't close your Bible. I know I closed mine, but I can't stand that when people start closing up when the preacher closes his Bible. I want to ask you a question. What beautiful work is God in progress of making in your life? You say you don't know the burdens, Pastor. Oh, you might be surprised. You don't know how my heart's breaking. You don't understand. You may be right, but I know this. Your God loves you with an eternal love. And He is like a master painter that to the average person, it's like, what is that He's drawing? What is that He's doing? That makes no sense to me. Ooh, that looks ugly. But you come back in an hour and you're like, oh, I get it now. He really does know what He's doing, doesn't He? By the way, aren't you glad you serve a God like that? I'm just trying to encourage you today. I'm just trying to get you to see some things here from Solomon's life. The first thing is, don't be so wrapped up in the past and future that you miss the blessing of right now. Hold each other now. Spend time with your kids. Don't let time fly by and you look back and say, where did it go? Live today for the glory of God. Secondly, whatever you're going through, God is making something beautiful in His time. Amen or not this morning? Trust Him. Believe Him. He sees the beginning from the end when all we see is tunnel vision. Amen or not, friends, you know what I'm talking about. God sees the whole thing. And may the Lord draw people to his side today. No doubt about it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, would you bless this? Would you help us to get this? And Lord God, I sense in my heart and spirit that you are really working right now. I pray you'll do your will. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The Lord is at work. I know He is. I can sense it. God has spoken to me today. As your pastor, God has spoken to me. God used this message in my own life. And I've went through this message, I don't know, two times at least already, whatever, two or three. But He used it as I preached it to speak to my heart. I wonder today, is God speaking to you? As they begin to play through softly, I wonder, first of all, do you know God as your personal Savior? Do you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? That you've trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone? Do you have peace in your heart that you're going to heaven? If you know without a doubt that heaven is your home, would you raise your hand? You know you're going to heaven. Put your hand up. Put it right back down. God bless you. Thank you. By the way, never get over the fact that you could raise your hand to that question. You know what that means? It means you're not going to hell. It means your sins have been washed away. You're justified. You're going to spend eternity with Jesus. Don't ever get over it. Is there one today you say, Pastor Jody, I could not raise my hand to that question, but I'll tell you this, the next time somebody asks that, I sure wish I could. The next time somebody asks, do I know I'm going to heaven? I'd love to be able to, with a surety, to raise my hand. I couldn't raise my hand saying I know I'm going to heaven, but I want to. I desire to. That's my desire. I don't want to play games any longer. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to draw attention to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I would like to know how to proceed. Is there somebody to say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm concerned that I'm not going to heaven, but I sure do want to. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? You say, pray for me. I'm concerned that I'm not going to heaven, but I sure do want to. Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. You're a Christian. Let me just work down through these two thoughts that I gave you this morning. Is life passing you by so quickly that you're missing now? Is God speaking to your heart about living in now? Hey, teenagers, you know, this is a temptation for you too to start looking towards your future. Oh, who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? Forget all of that stuff. You just live for God now. God will take care of those things. I'm asking, is God, hey, He spoke to me here. It doesn't mean your heart's wrong. My heart's not wrong as far as I know. But God spoke to me in that point that I don't need to waste time with my children. I don't need to waste time with my wife. I don't need to waste time pastoring this church. I need to do what God wants me to do today. And if God gives me tomorrow, then that becomes my now. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I give God now, always now, now, now doing something for God. And you say, Pastor, I'm with you. God used that in my life today. I needed that. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. God bless you. That's many of you. Many of you. I'm right there with you. How many today say, Pastor Jody, God really spoke to me in point number two. That point, what I'm talking about here in point number two, is this truth here that God is at work. He's the master planner. He's the master painter. He's the master sower. And even though all you see is right now, God sees it all, and He's working on something beautiful. It may even be something that it's not His will that's going on, but you know in your heart that if you give it to God, God can turn it into something beautiful. Have you say, Pastor, I'm going to tell you something, I needed that today. Be honest, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person, say, I needed that. God help you. The Lord help you. Aren't you glad God's working? He's working to make something beautiful. Many of you need to come and say, God, just thank you for speaking to my heart. Help me live now the way you'd have me live. And help me even when my life is in trouble and in shambles and in heartache, help me trust you, realizing that you are working to make something beautiful. Help me trust you. This is it. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it and use it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. And if God is speaking to your heart, would you come to this altar now? Would you please, as he sings, come on, come on.
Simply
respond when God speaks.
Every day.
Give it to God.
Trust
God, help me live now.
The
way you'd have me live. Help me trust you that you are making something beautiful.
My faith is
you're doing
small.
Something beautiful.
Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by. Trusting Him, whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all.
They're playing through. I'd like you to look at me for just a moment. We want to sing one more verse. If nobody else comes, we'll be done. Let's be honest. What I preach today is easier to say than to live. I am in no way saying that whatever you're going through, it's a small thing, don't worry about it. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just trying to encourage you that God's not brought you this far in dropping you off and letting you go through it alone. God's still behind the wheel. He's still driving the car. He's not finished painting yet. He's not finished sowing yet. He's still working. In His time to make something beautiful. Hope you leave today encouraged. Glimmer of hope. God's working. We can trust Him. No doubt about it. Have you bow your head one more time? One more verse, Brother Gary. If nobody comes, we'll be done. Here it is.
Trusting Him while life shall last.
The altar's still open if you need to come.
Trusting Him till earth be past. To within the jasper walls, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him, whatever.
This way. Let me remind you, if you're visiting with us, to take your visitor's card out through the lobby, drop it off at the Welcome Center. If you'd like to have a copy of the Family Devotional Book, please help yourself. These are out in the lobby. Please take advantage of that. Please, I encourage you to do that. I like it when I leave a service and I sense in my spirit that God is pleased. I sense in my spirit that the music today, the message today, has lifted up the Lord. And He's the answer. Let Him have it. Come back tonight, I'll give you two more from this chapter. And they are powerful thoughts, no doubt about it. Brother Tony Estep, thank you for being here. If you'll pray and dismiss us, sir, please.